Pastor asked me to fill in for him a week or so ago, and as soon as he asked me to do it, it takes me a couple months to prepare for these things. I don't know how he does these things one after another. It's just amazing. And they're fruitful. They're great sermons. But for me, I need to work on it. But when he asked me to do that, a word came to mind, and I knew that's the direction that I should go with our sermon today. And I'll pray here in a moment, but I want to kind of set the stage for the whole thing. Started years ago, and Janice and I were in the street ministry, what we call the street ministry. We fed homeless every week, and it sounds like a kind of an easy job, but there was up to 200 on up to 500 people that showed up on a particular night. And for you folks that prepare meals, you can imagine what that looks like. So all these people were coming in. But we saw and we heard from we're in Eugene, and there's a lot of different voices going on there, that we're enabling the down and out. And we were, in a way. But you got to feed people. You got to bring them to life before they have life. And we wanted to start a long-term recovery program. And so we went, we checked out some different programs around, and we had the prospectus. We wrote it all out, and yeah, thank God it didn't happen, because it's bigger than, if you do a long-term recovery program, you better be ready. Remember that show, You Build It, They'll Come? Well, Field of Dreams. So in preparing for that, and it turned out good because we needed it, my wife saw a program that we should partake in and learn about. And the name of that program was the Genesis Process, Relapse Prevention Program. So it was, a week-long. I'm losing it again. I'll have this thing here just in case. Keep going. I don't know what they're doing back there. So it's a week-long thing that I went to as a 40-hour program or seminar that I went to to learn about whatever. And I was going to learn this stuff and then bring it back, and then that would be part of our program when we got it started, because it was needed, how to prevent relapse. And so I went. It's a 40-hour course, 8 hours a day, 5 days straight. And I was a little nervous because when I got there, there was about 300 people there, and they're all CEOs and directors and all these big name people from all over had come to take this course. And they were directors of relapse programs all over the world, all over the United States. Some of them were in Europe. But they were there, and I was there with no title, no badge, no nothing. I'm just Bob, you know. It's in there. So the first day, the person teaching the program introduced us to the whole program a little bit, briefly, but he handed out these sheets. And it's a worksheet that in whatever relapse program you're in, you would take this daily, if not weekly, and it indicates where you're at. How are you doing? And you circle the things in there that you're struggling with. And you go in there, and the worksheet was titled the Faster Relapse Awareness Scale. And it was something that everybody took. So we all sat down. We were in a big, giant auditorium. And he handed them out, told us what to do, go through this thing, circle the things that you need to work on. Well, by the way, the word recovery is not only used for those in drug and alcohol. That's a key here. It's not just drug and alcohol. It could be pornography. It could be overspending. It could be overeating. gluttony, lying, too much TV, all that stuff. In recovery, you want to be where God wants you to be. You get out of recovery, and now you're going down this line to relapse. And I'm giving you, this is all not biblical, but it's sound stuff, and we'll get to how it applies to us. So here I am with all these people, and the first thing on here is forgetting priorities. First, right up at the top is recovery. So we want to be no secrets, resolving problems, identifying your fears and feelings, keeping commitments to church, family, people, all those things that are keeping your commitments. The second, when you bump out of that little slot right there, now you're in forgetting priorities. And this is where we get to our life in the Lord. Forgetting priorities. Forgetting priorities. You got secrets? Are you bored? Less time or energy for God? Meetings and church? You avoiding support? Accountability? It goes on. So a whole list of things there. Well, when I was going through there, I read all those things and I thought, you know, that don't really apply to me. I'm kind of a godly guy and I have very few sins that I'm working on and all this. Yeah. And I'm going through this thing and I'm really looking at it thinking, wow, what do I put down here? Because this doesn't apply to me. I'm way beyond this. So I circled procrastination. And that's just exactly what the guy next to me did. He goes, oh. And I'm going, man, watch your own paper, man. You know, this is private. And he said, procrastination is the number one thing that will lead you into relapse. The number one thing. And it's pretty obvious if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, when you're supposed to be doing it, there's repercussions of that. Forgetting priorities. So I circled procrastination, thinking I was going to get off on this whole deal. What I didn't realize is that was going to be my theme for a whole week. Every time anybody came up, they were talking about procrastination and how that is detrimental to everything, particularly spiritually. I mean, we see it in our society where people procrastinate and things don't get done properly and whatnot. But spiritually, that's a tough one. God tells us to do something and we don't do it because we're afraid, whatever it is. I'll get into that. So here's a word that is probably going to stumble you a little bit, is being addicted to procrastination. Now everybody thinks addicted, we got to have some kind of pharmaceuticals or something else, alcohol or it. But if you're doing the same thing over and over and over again, you're addicted. If it's a bad thing, it can be detrimental to your walk. So, I got what can be. We can be addicted to pharmaceuticals, alcohol, pornography, money, etc. But procrastination. I know what you're thinking. You know, it's something I deal with, but I'm not addicted to it. And it's time that when this happened to me, it was one of those times where God thumped me on the back of the head and said, "You have a problem." I was self-employed for all our marriage, really. And if you're self-employed, here's maybe a thought that you have. You can do what you want when you want. And if you get that attitude, you go broke. Because you're supposed to be doing the things that need to be done when they need to be done so the client will be happy and they'll pay you the money that you need to pay your bills. That's how it works. Well, if you're a procrastinator And procrastination, by the way, leads to lying and shame and everything else. So here's my example. This is a long time ago. Janice is looking at me like, he's still got it. He's still front. I would procrastinate, not doing the work when it was supposed to be done. Now the client calls and says, Bob, how are my doors coming? And I'm in my shop by myself. Maybe somebody's in there with me. And I'm on the cell phone. But maybe I'm on the golf course. I mean, seriously. So now I'm on the golf course and not in the shop. And the person calls and asks me how the door's coming. And I say, oh, fine. Big lie. And then they say, well, I'm going to stop by and see how you're doing. And now I got to lie again. Well, I've got to leave here in a moment to go pick up some nails or whatever. It just escalates. And the end result of that is I don't get the work done on time. And if that continues, the next person that comes along gets a referral from the first person. Says, hey, yeah, he does great work, but it may take a while. Because the guy never gets it done on time. And now your business starts going down. Or whatever it is. So that's an example on my part. And that's when I showed up at this seminar. And the Lord said, you got a problem with procrastination. And it's addicting. Because you don't have to do what you need to do when you need to do it. You can put it off. I wish I had it on the phone. I got a Christian comic or something like that, whatever it is. And it was on procrastination this morning. I got it. I'm going to talk about that. So, here's a definition. So this is out of Webster's or somebody. A compulsive, chronic, psychological need for a habit-forming substance. Of habit-forming behavior, habit-forming activity, having harmful physical, psychological, or social effects, and I added negative spiritual effects. You can call it about what you want, but if you struggle with procrastination, you probably got a problem. And here's another one that I kind of made up, but I think it's good. It says that the action of unnecessarily and voluntarily delaying or postponing something despite knowing that there will be negative consequences for doing so. Now put that in perspective with what the Lord has asked you to do. Call your neighbor. I just got a heads up on this morning, actually. Happened yesterday. A guy I used to play music with, we had a little band that we played all over the place, and he was the lead guitar guy, and he's been on my mind for about a month or two, struggling with different things. And playing music was his life. He's a real good, very excellent lead guitar guy. Well, he had surgery on his shoulder, and it went bad. He can't move his left arm. And that happened yesterday. And the Lord has put him on my mind for 3 weeks. See what I'm getting at? God put it on my heart 3 weeks ago to call this guy and say, hey man, how are you doing? And I'm going, well, I got stuff to do. You know, fire season's out there and the mowing and the money and kids and God said, call him. And you know how the Lord speaks to you. It's very, very gentle. Just a little touch. Call Joe. Didn't do it. So, that's the prologue. Is that before you get into the whole thing? That's the prologue. So I'm going to pray now and we're going to get into it. You thought this was just going to be procrastination where you can tell jokes and it'll be fun and everything. Lord, like Shane always says, this preacher needs your help. So I pray, Lord, that you would come and fill me up with your Spirit. speak through me your truth and your encouragement, that we might gain some morsels, some golden nuggets that we can apply to our life and be better people because of your word and you in us, Lord. Amen. So someone said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We've probably heard that many times, maybe you by a friend or maybe your mother. But in reality, the easiest things to do is to plan and to promise to do what's right and good. But when the time comes to fulfill that plan, something always comes up. Something's always in the way and you don't get it done. Almost all of us intend to do the right thing. Well, that's our heart. Straighten up and get things in order before we die, but we always want to wait until tomorrow or some future convenient time. And what do we say to the Lord about our procrastination? Not today. I mean, that's what we do say. We may not say it out loud, but that's what we're doing. Not today. I'll work on it later. Maybe there's things in your life that the Lord has put his finger on. I don't know how he is with you, but I've got a whole raft of things that he could pick that he needs to work on, but he just works on one thing at a time, generally. This is the area that I want you to deal with today, Bob. Let's get this thing ironed out. And maybe it's a secret thing. Remember this? Secrets? Maybe it's a secret that nobody knows about. Just me and the Lord. And he's got his finger on it today to make that change, to do what's right. And because no one else knows about it, and no one else will ever know about it, possibly, I don't do it. Do I have any nodding heads? Or you guys are all... See, you guys are all like I was. I don't have any problems. What happens is the Lord will pick them out. Younger people feel they must sow their wild oats because they only live once. The middle-aged think they must work and make all the money they can while they're in their productive years because the time will come when they can't do any more. Make hay while the sun shines. And some of us older folks think that we must enjoy the few years of retirement and fun before we settle down and seriously start following God's purpose and for us on earth. Crazy, this is a crazy self-indulging cycle. It continues and continues in our society. We're just doing this thing and we put off God. We keep putting him off. What's the most important thing? It's doing God's purpose. We don't stop to contemplate. What we don't stop to contemplate is the fact that there is a judgment in which every one of us must give an account. And we got 2 Corinthians up there somewhere. There we go. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That ought to spur us on a little bit to do what's right when you need to do it right. And Revelation 20:12 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the Lord, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things that were written in the books." And we're not all about works, right? We're about grace. But when God is asking us to do something, it's for a reason. It's as simple as making a phone call to a friend who's been suffering. I don't know, who were we just talking about that? Somebody just this morning. Yeah, I was going to point you out. That we were just talking about that. How do we do that? How do we get that Holy Spirit unction to call or do or whatever for someone? And it's so light and so tender that it's easy not to respond to it. But it's there, and maybe it comes up the next day. That's what God is doing. The Holy Spirit is just so gentle that way. With me, however, he's gentle, 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 and then he brings my wife along. And And she says, you need to call him today, now. and that's, you know, some of us need that. We need somebody in our life to say, hey, man, have you called so-and-so or have you gone over there? Get it done. So I just a little segue right here in the middle of getting it done and doing what's right when you're supposed to be doing it. Was it Thursday or Friday we moved you, Fred?
Thursday.
So Thursday, we're moving Fred. And for some of us, the Lord put that on our heart to help Fred. And so here, maybe my procrastination thing is dogging me and saying, you know, you got other things to do. But I knew that we need to help him. We need to help these people move. So we go over there. We show up at 8 o'clock. We moved a whole house out of the house, into trucks, into Roseburg, up the stairs, by the way, and into the house in 4 hours. Is that crazy or what? I mean, we could still be there in some people's mood. We did what we were supposed to do when we were supposed to do it for God's kingdom, for His glory. And He just got the glory right there because we did what God asked us to do when we were supposed to do it, and God gets the glory. Okay? I guess it's just my age, I'm thinking here, that I'm starting to think about this stuff. And I've read those scriptures and I thought, when I'm standing before the Lord, and I know I'm saved and I'm in the kingdom, but it sounds like there's going to be some dialogue right there, or He's going to open these books and there's my stuff. I wonder what I could have accomplished if I had done things on time. And, you know, is there this big blank space in my book? Here, you know, I got done here, but this is all stuff that He had lined up for me. To call somebody, to do something, to help somebody, to be in His Word, to go to church, whatever it was that I didn't do when I was supposed to do it. And that's procrastination. And the addiction part of it is it really gets easy to not do things. Just sit around. I'll do it tomorrow. I started looking up the jokes about procrastination, and there's thousands of them. Because we think it's kind of funny. You know, I can't even remember. I had about a bunch of them on the phone, and I didn't think it was worth getting into. But it's kind of funny. Oh, he's a procrastinator. I was at another job, or I won't tell you where it was, but some people that own about half of Oregon. And I was behind a wall. We were doing all the trim work in this building. I was behind the wall where they had their meetings. People from all over the country had their meetings there, and the wall was like three-quarter high, so it was. And they're talking about the job that we were doing. We were there for a year. It's a long story, but we did a lot of work there. And they're saying, well, how's the job going? And I was the lead on the job at the time. And the accountant, I knew his voice because I know the guy. He said, well, it's going pretty good. But, you know, you got to get your spurs in, Bob, or this is going to go on for another year. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I'm like, I'm going to look over and say, who's listening to this? That's the Lord coming back on you and saying, going, see what's going on here? And they had a bunch of money, so they could just keep paying us. We weren't sandbagging, but I heard that, and I heard it about three times over my lifetime. And then it comes to this, where God said, stop doing that. Stop doing it. Be accountable. Be that person that somebody says, hey, I can count on him. He'll be there, like Mike. You know, here's Mike shows up. He's helping us. He shows up. Be that person. Be that person that shows up when there's a need. Don't go the other way and go, well, you know, somebody will handle it. Somebody else. I'm tired of doing this. And that's part of this right here. It says, the normal and almost natural inclinations of men, us, people tend to defer to God's purposes to some future time, while we choose the more comfortable road, which is, I'll get to it when I'm not busy. So I'll use you, Fred, as an example. So Fred needs to move, and I know he needs to move, and I've been asked to help, and I go, well, you know, I'm busy. I really can't help him. I'm too tired. I didn't say it in here, but I could have put, I'm too old. But even old guys, Charlie's not here today, but he helped. I'm telling you. He was at the bottom of the bucket brigade when we were going up the stairs, and he helped. Somebody would say, well, mate, Charlie's probably too old to help. No, he's there. I'm too tired. My life is too stressed right now. What a bunch of babies. Come on. It's not about you. It's about God's purposes and what He's doing in life for people. I don't have enough money to help the poor. Oh, are you kidding me? I don't have enough money left over at the end of my paycheck to help the poor. Well, I mean, there's a whole book on helping the poor in there. Isaiah, what is it, 58? The whole thing on helping the poor. Help the poor. I don't know the word well enough to share it. You at home anywhere? You're at the supermarket, there's an opportunity, the cashier's crying and people are yelling at her, and you go, well, I don't know the word well enough to really help her out here. And you leave and you say, have a good day. And the Lord is up there, I'm going to pop you. I got an assignment for you right there. Right there is your assignment. And you're going out the truck to eat your malt balls. Something. Or, it's high time someone else carries the load for a while. I've been at this. Glenda's like, they're nodding her head like, somebody pick up the pace here. I mean, we think about that. I wonder, you know, I've heard Pastor say that. I need some help here. But with us, we use that as an excuse. Somebody, I'm not going to do it, man. It's somebody else. Some of those young guys got to go over there and help Fred. Well, Fred didn't ask the young guys, and God didn't either. He asked me, and he asked a bunch of guys that are suffering with back problems to do it. And we did it. And God gets the glory from it. Yeah. I wanted to highlight this thing. And this is something I made up. If we always see someone or something standing against us and our willingness to do God's will, then we will never hold ourselves responsible for our spiritual procrastination. We're always blaming somebody else. We're always passing the buck. And it's very easy to procrastinate and just hide away. I'm going to get to a scripture here in a moment that apparently we're, most of us, say 95% of the population suffers from procrastination from time to time, but the rest of that, we are addicted to it because it gets us out of work, it gets us out of responsibilities, it gets us out of obeying, it gets us out of a lot. But you see how it compounds. There's always a price to pay for not doing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. Hands down, procrastination is our favorite form of self-sabotage. Have you heard that in recovery programs and different TV things? And self-sabotage. We were talking about that Friday night with the guys, we are the biggest problem. Our flesh. We battle against our flesh more than anything. It's kind of like Satan just puts something out there. You know, remember, what was the Turkish Delight? What book was that? C.S. Lewis thing? Narnia thing or something? So here's the Turkish Delight. It was a cake that lured the kid through the closet and into the snow. And here's the witch. She's got Turkish Delight. Here's Turkish Delight. She puts it out there. She says, try some of that. He likes it, and he is hooked because it's easy, and he's not obeying. He's not doing the thing he's supposed to do. And that's the way Satan is. He just puts these little morsels out there to see if we'll go with them, see if we'll fall for it. You know, guys in here, we all deal with lust and pornography and all that stuff because it's everywhere. And now we got to shore up. This is a battle. So be a battler. I'm not going down that road with that. I'm not watching that. I'm not doing that. And whatever it is that ladies deal with, they must deal with something. I don't know what. But I know. It's back to this thing. There's nothing up there. Huh? Yeah, they're dealing with us. That's enough problem. Look at the spiritual effects of procrastination. It steals your productive time, and you can never recover it anymore. I can't go back and get that time back. I saw a Western movie where the old guy was talking to the young guy, and the young guy wanted to talk to him, and the old guy said that. He said, I've given you this time, and I can't get it back, so it better be important. And I got that. This time, I can't get that back. I didn't do what God asked me to do. And now the enemy brings what? Shame and guilt and all those other things. God doesn't do that, but we get it piled on. And then we're laid low because we didn't do it. And it's at that time you get busted by the Lord with your problem. And you go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be that person that you want me to be. I want to be productive in your kingdom. I want to have my priorities in order. It takes away the physical and spiritual blessings God has for you. I wonder about that. What have I missed that way? Because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Your heart is always filled with fear and uncertainty, and I should put shame there. That's the other thing, that shame and guilt, it comes in. Shame and guilt. Because you didn't do it. And heaven forbid if somebody finds out that you didn't do it. Now they know that you don't do that. And you should have done it. Spiritual procrastination makes you fruitless because you lose the fruit of the Spirit, such as faithfulness and self-control. And that's in Galatians. I didn't highlight it. But fruit of the Spirit. And negatively affects your level of achievement in life. It separates you from the presence of the Lord. Yeah. I mean, come on. We got to recognize this thing, that it is not good for us to be doing this. And I'm sure the list goes on. But you can see how unwise it is and unhealthy it is. The outcome of procrastination is disastrous. And some words in the Bible, that procrastination isn't in the Bible, but sluggard is. Delay is laziness. Here's one about a sluggard. And this is, who was I talking to? Was it Ron? Was it? I can't remember. I was talking to somebody about this. And the picture of this particular proverb, 6, 9 through 11, is me. Well, I'm in my shop. My shop was probably this big. I don't know. We built doors, and I was out there, and I got the stove going, and the heat's going, and kind of sleepy out there, nobody's around, and how long will you slumber, old Bob, old slugger? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. I can just picture myself just doing this, and the work is piling up, and the phone's ringing, and all that stuff. Look what happens here. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. there's a warning there of not doing what you're supposed to be doing when you're supposed to be doing it. Okay? If you're ready for some ways to get over this, get over your addiction. Some of you are not, I don't have a problem with it. Well, I'll hand these out to you later, and you can go through this thing, and if there's nothing on there for you that you can identify with, then you're probably going to go to heaven right now. Yeah, I won't read them, but you can see the list is long. And it goes for the program that we were trying to start there. And by the way, that program is in hundreds and hundreds of recovery programs all over the place. And I introduced it to the mission in Eugene, and they implemented it. Every person that's on staff takes the whole course. It's a 12-week booklet course that identifies all your fears and feelings and goes through grief, just everything. And this stuff here, this keeps you on track. You can look at it and see, am I slipping here? Am I still up at the top here doing what I'm supposed to do when I'm supposed to do it? Or have I got some stuff down here? The number one thing, right, you slip out of where God wants you, is secrets. Number one, you got any secrets? I mean, wouldn't that be embarrassing? If God showed up right now and said, I want everybody to tell me your secrets out loud, and here's the mic. Yikes. And some of us would go, I don't have secrets. God said, well, we'll see. Are you ready for some ways to overcome your procrastination? Remember the worksheet? Yeah. And remember the first category was recovery, which means this is what it means in this program. But for us, this makes you think that you're coming back or something. I don't know how this might sound. A return to a normal and healthy condition. But it's where God wants you, because we slipped out of that bracket up there. And God wants you back there. You're returning to that place of where God wants you. Spiritually speaking, recovery means to be where God intends you to be, in a constant communion with Him. So keep that definition in mind. So here's some help. Here's some help for you. Increasing in your relationship with the Lord and others. How do you do that? Right here. I mean, that's what we're doing right here. When we come here, all of a sudden we're kind of accountable. Because somebody's going to come up to you and say, hey man, how are you doing? I heard, you know, you got laid off or some sickness. You're being accountable. And now we're in this relationship. It's very, very, very important. The Friday night thing is amazing. I think I mentioned it last time that I don't know how many, we had 16 guys, 17 guys there. Are you kidding me? I've been to churches where there's 1,500 people there and two guys show up for men's Bible study. We got 16, 17 guys and some of them were busy. Pastor. Second one, no current secrets. We talked about that. It's a big deal. One of the things that when we went through the life change, when I was doing the life change program there in Eugene for 6 years or whatever it was, the challenge was in our group meetings is if somebody walked through that door right now and pointed their finger at you and said, I've got a secret about that guy. Is there anything that you have in your life that is going to be detrimental to you? So when we got in our group meetings, which are confidential and crazy, we got the secrets out. This is what I dealt with. This is what I did. And if you're in that realm of guys, there's guys that have done bad things, but now they're getting it out. And where does the enemy want to keep your secrets? In here. So you're dragging them around with shame and guilt. I could tell you lots of stories about that stuff. Just horrible things that guys have been dragging around for years. Some of them they should be in prison for life for, but they're not. And now they're dealing with it. No secrets Is there anything that, if somebody came in the room right today and picked out one of you, is there some secret that he would tell about you that would be embarrassing to you? I'll go on to the next one. Resolving problems. There's a procrastinator's nightmare. Don't resolve the problems. Thank God I have a wife that gets things done. I'm dragging my feet, and she says, "No, we need to go talk to him, or we need to do this. We need to pay that bill, or whatever it is." And whatever. Resolving problems. Identify your fears and feelings. I think that's probably some things that you guys are going through in grief. Maybe is just this is the way I feel, and why do I feel that way? Keeping commitments to family, church, people, goals, yourself, keeping the commitments. I'll be there. I'm going to go help Fred tomorrow, 8:30. I got to be there at 8:30. I'm going to do it. Keeping your commitments. Being open and honest. These are all things that you can start applying to your life to, if you struggle, some of you might struggle with procrastination. You can apply to your life. Being open and honest and being accountable. And I put in there, just start working on them gradually. It's like getting in shape again. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you and strengthen you to achieve God's will for you. Take that step and He'll guide you. And that's kind of what I did when I got busted here that very day, because I used to run a lot, did marathons and nonsense like that, but I quit. And when you quit at, I don't know how old I was, about 50, things start happening. Because you're still eating like you were when you're running a lot. And that was one of the things that he said, "Hey, you want to live to be a ripe old age? Get out, get in shape." And I'm at the food bar right then. Like right now. I got some pie here. I got it. Get in shape, and it's spiritually get in shape. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you. "Lord, help me to do that, because I am weak in that area. Help me to do that." Take that step and ask Him to help you. Keep your focus and be diligent. Meditate on the Word of God. A big thing. And this is a big thing I really like, and you've heard it before. Give your power of choice to the Lord every morning. Who said that? Was it you? I think you mentioned it Friday night about choice, or somebody mentioned that about choice. Is, "I choose to follow you today, Lord. Set my day up and help me. I've got this whole agenda out there on the table that I need to get done somewhere along the line. What do you want me to do today?" And get my agenda in order. So that I've got 50 things out there. Just give me what I can get done today, and I'll worry about it, or not worry. Then take that, cut that. You don't want to worry about it. I'll tackle that tomorrow. Because he said you got enough today to worry about. Don't worry about tomorrow. And push away distractions. Were any of you here when Thomas? I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. Uquinte was here. He was at the other church probably about 3 years ago now, maybe something like that. Anyway, he's the pastor of Hope Ministries in Nigeria, and he spoke to us. He came and gave us a word which was really good, and it stuck in my mind about distractions. And he warned us prophetically, really, about distractions in our life. Because he kind of knew what we were getting ready to move and had our goals out here. And he said, yeah, that distractions are going to keep you from moving on if you let them. So the enemy knows if he can convince us that we are something other than who we are in Christ, he'll get us off course. Right when we make the first step, we finally decide this is what we want to do. To break through procrastination, the enemy will present us with a counterfeit. It'll look like the perfect job, the perfect relationship, the perfect outcome, or answer, or the perfect timing. I bet you could probably think of it in your life, but you finally make the decision. We're moving to Arizona. And here comes the enemy. How about Boise, Idaho? Or, you know, and you're heading in this right direction. This is one of the things that happens in these programs is people are getting their course set, and then something will come up. A job. These guys will go through 18 months of in the program, and 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, they'll get offered a good job in the middle of that. And they can't work. That's the deal. They're staying in-house. They work in the program there. But they'll come to me and say, hey, I got a job at Shell Station. Really? You can take it? Well, you know, I haven't had a job forever, and I get some money, and that'll be a good thing. I can pay out some bills, and whew, there's a right turn or a left turn there, off course, because the enemy presents this thing to them right when they're on course. That's a big deal. And that's what Thomas was talking to us about. Don't, if you got your course set, don't let these peripheral things take you off course. And believe me, in this building thing, there's so many tangents of these spurs off the rail line, it's unreal. Every time we turn around, there's a, really? And it's not really an option. It's just like, what are they thinking? Just get the plans done and get them back to us. Another diversion, distraction. And it is a distraction, right? What was that all about? That whole thing with him. So we don't even know. So the Bible teaches us that Christ is our life, not just our priority. In Galatians 2:20, you get it up there, it says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. We are no longer Christ. When he instructs, he by the touch of the Holy Spirit for us to do something, we are no longer Christ. This is something that needs to be done. God's priority on earth is to bring all men unto him and be glorified in it. And if your life isn't projecting that, then it's probably time to step back and go, Lord, I need to get back on track here. Christ is our life. I said it's not an addendum to our busy schedule. It's not like, well, I'll get Jesus in there about noon. You know, it's just, I don't know about you, but I don't like leaving the house without Christ. I really don't, because I've made so many messes of my life without him. And I think with me, he's got a long rope on me. He's giving me slack. And I'll see how far he gets on this deal before I need to jerk him back and realize that, Bobby, I have a problem with procrastination. That was 20 years ago, so I'm much better. Just you're looking at me like, all right. So God is very concerned with how we use our time on this earth. They're very, very concerned about that. In Galatians 5:15, he says, be very careful. Did I get that? I might have given you the wrong one there. But this is what I got. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And if we don't take hold of that and start applying it to our lives, we're off the rails. We're not doing what God has asked us to do. You know, I look around and I know that some of us are still working. Some of us are coming up to, you know, they're getting married or whatever it is. Some of us are older. Who was I was talking to you today about being retired. Retirement is not sitting around in the chaise lounge having another glass of tea. God is saying, okay, now I can really use you. I've got all kinds of things for you to do, to help this person, to call this person, to go over there and just hang out. That's our assignment, is what can we do for the Lord in these days? Because it says, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity. What does that mean? Maybe the lady at the cashier that's crying and everybody's yelling at her because she messed up on somebody's tab. Making the most of every opportunity. Stop your day. Help somebody out. I think it would be a different world if we actually paid more attention to people. You know, why is that guy screamingly angry? There's a reason for that. He's just not an angry person. There's a reason he's like that. You don't want to confront him, of course, because he'll clean your clock probably, but you can start praying for him. The guy that's going off on the cashier, for an example. Praying for him. Lord, whatever's going on in his life, I just claim the blood of Jesus over that situation right now. Pray for your peace, Lord, to come down. Calm that guy's attitude. Be with him right now. Because it says, making the most of every opportunity. I think we miss them because we want to go out in their truck and have our malt balls. Mine are black crows, by the way. That's what I really like. I believe the Lord brought this to my attention 20 years ago. Probably, I don't know, maybe longer than that, to adjust my attitude and my life about my addiction. You know, I don't say that flippantly because I've been around for many, many, many years, people that are addicted to pharmaceuticals or alcohol or different things like that, and I get it. But this is something that'll actually keep you from entering into God's kingdom here on earth. Doesn't keep you from going up there if you're saved, but you're ineffective down here. And that's Satan's biggest tool, just make you ineffective so you're not doing what God wants you to do. If you're ineffective, he'll leave you alone. I knew a guy in Eugene that made a lot of money at one of the mills out there as a supervisor or something. He had so much vacation time. He came over to my shop when I'm breathing dust and trying to get something done once. And he goes and he sits down and I said, what's up? He said, I don't know what to do. I got 4 months of paid vacation. I said, you're talking to me? If I get a day off, we usually go Saturday, Sunday, and maybe there's a holiday on Monday. So that's our vacation right there. And you're talking to me about 4 months? And I looked at his life, and he had money coming in, all the stuff. He's ineffective in God's kingdom. And that came back around on him. Because in his quiet times, doing nothing, he drank beer. And he drank a lot of beer. And his marriage separated, and he lost his house. It just, that's what happens. And he's a Christian guy. So, not that that's going to happen to everybody, but God's saying, do what you're supposed to do when I ask you to do it. So I believe God brought me through those 20 years to show me that I wasn't, my relationship with him was not what it needed to be. And maybe today, I'm hoping that the Lord is speaking to us about the pitfalls of procrastination, calling us to change. So let's make the change and make the right choice. Let's be growing in our relationship with the Lord and others. And this is a review. Having no current secrets. Identifying our fears and our feelings, keeping our commitments, being open and honest, being accountable, and by the Lord's grace we will be overcomers and be victorious because He loves us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word of, I don't know, maybe it's exhortation, maybe it's encouragement. But Father, I know that some of us need to hear that procrastination creeps in on us all the time, and we wind up not doing what you ask us to do when you ask us to do it. And so I pray that, like we prayed beforehand, that there be some golden nuggets in everything that I said, Lord, that would resonate with people, with some people. And it would be a time of change, a time of choice, a time to start participating. And I know this church is good. We do really well. But some of us are dragging our feet, I believe. Some of us are not entering in. Some of us have a little problem with procrastination, and we need to change. We want to be on the spot, Lord. When you call us, we want to be there. When you ask us, we want to do. So this morning, Lord, I'm thinking of there might be some people out there that don't know you, Lord. They don't even know what I'm talking about. Lord, I pray that you touch their heart right now. In your name, Lord. This is the day of salvation. This is the day that I make a choice to turn from where I am to Jesus Christ. Lord God, I pray that you touch people right now. This would be a day of change. A day of change, Lord. If there's anybody out there right now, I encourage you to raise your hand just to acknowledge the fact that you're doing that. But this is your day to make that change. And if there's anyone that needs to make this change about their life with procrastination, this is the day of change. This is the day that the Lord has brought to you. He brought it to my mind a couple weeks ago to talk about procrastination, and this is the day that you hear it and you get to respond. You can keep going. You can procrastinate even right now, and I'll do it later. I'll do it by myself at home. I'll change. But if this is the moment for you to make that change, Lord, I would pray that you touch people's hearts. And we're going to have some people up here to be praying for you. If today is the day for you to make that change, I'd encourage you to come on up here and make that change and get away from that procrastination addiction, really, that keeps you from moving in the direction God wants you to be.